Tory Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, help us out. Where the heck is Dan Quinn? What's on the table here with the next move for the Broncos?
Yeah, again, it's up my understanding as of today, they're just trying to figure out a day to get him in. But obviously, until we see him in here, you wonder. Nathaniel Hackett, was schedule was wide open the way his interviews fell. So he was able to come in yesterday for 9 hours, make his bid in the second interview. Quinn interviewed with the Giants yesterday, so it wasn't going to be yesterday for Quinn. And he is a strong candidate in Chicago, where he's interviewed multiple times. And, you know, is he weighing some of that, or is it legitimately, you know, just trying to find his place in the schedule? I would be shocked if we don't see him here in the next couple of days, unless he moves in a different direction with another team.
Yeah. What'd you make of Hackett's visit yesterday? You know, a lot of people were tracking the flight. I'm sure you were, like the rest of us. And he allegedly was supposed to leave at like 5:30. He ended up being in town here for like 9 hours. That flight got delayed by a couple hours, and so it was an extended stay. What did you hear about the visit, and where do they stand with him?
Yeah, it was just food delivery. Got caught up in the system. The order didn't go through, so that was like 3.5 hours there waiting for pizza.
There you go.
Listen,
where'd they order
private,
from?
Private jets and private charters, it's always an estimate. So I never look at that time as like, oh, my God, if it's a minute late, that means that's an estimate of when they want the plane available. It was obviously a good visit. I was told he visited, you know, not only did he tour the facility, which is impressive. The Broncos have had a lot of things go against them the last few years: roster upheaval, ownership, quarterback. Their facility is not one of them. I mean, it's first class. So getting a guy in there to see that is always a good thing. And he met with heads of multiple departments, kind of getting a lay of the land, what it would be like. And that white SUV, we had a cameraman out there for multiple hours. And then once it got dark, we're like, okay, you're just going to have to go home, because the shot's going to just be a white SUV going up to Centennial Airport. I mean, there's a point of, you know, if you can't get the guy walking into the SUV or see the guy's face, you know, you just kind of say, okay. And we checked out around, I don't know, like 6:30 on the shot. But it went well. And he is an interesting personality. He does bring energy. And he teaches in a way that's creative and funny. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers has said he brings more joy to a room than any coach he's had. You hear that from players. But his offenses weren't exactly draped in glory when he was a coordinator in Buffalo. He had the 1 year where his best thing on his resume is that he had a top five offense with Blake Bortles as his quarterback, but they did it with a running game. That would be my only concern is when he's running offense, they've never passed the ball particularly well outside of Aaron Rodgers, which he doesn't count. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, but it went well. And so I was talking to someone else about this today. It doesn't make him a plan B. The way they've courted him, the way they've approached this, maybe they decide after interviewing Quinn, Hackett's the guy. And they don't have to go to Hackett and look at him funny and sideways. They go, oh, hey, by the way, we really like you. No, they've shown him that respect the whole process. So, And I do know inside that building there is discussion, like, should it be an offensive coach that we know is going to be here calling the plays so we don't have to replace the coordinator? And the one thing that's dogged this team beyond the quarterback play is their offense. They haven't scored 21 points a game since Peyton Manning retired. So there is an argument for going with an offensive head coach.
All right, baseball. Do you still get to vote or not?
Yeah, I just put my ballot out on Twitter. I do still vote.
Well, tell us, what'd you do?
Yeah, I mean, I did not vote for Bonds and Clemens and Sosa. Schilling I did vote for. All four of those are now off the ballot. The good news for this program specifically is Todd Helton.
I just want to interrupt and yell.
The good news in regards to this program is Todd Helton has jumped to 52%. So he's gone from 16 to 29 to 44. In his fourth year on the ballot, he's at 52. That is a really good sign for him to eventually make it in a few years. So in terms of Iraqi and the people that, you know, listen to this show, he is certainly trending in the right direction.
Okay.
Why didn't you vote for them?
Just real quick, but getting there. Are you sure David Ortiz was not on steroids?
I did not vote for David Ortiz. I did not vote for Ortiz.
He was
popped in survey testing in 03.
He was.
He tested positive for PED that year. I love David Ortiz. I interviewed him a million times. It's not a personality thing. I mean, if I was just voting for guys with personality, I'd vote for Giambi.
Okay.
I mean, I love Jason Giambi.
The majority of your peers who are baseball writers said Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling and Scott Rolen all should be in the Hall of Fame. But let's just talk about Bonds and Clemens because they got the highest vote totals. So 66% of people with the same, you know, aptitude as you, and 65.2% of people for Roger Clemens decided to do something you didn't decide to do. Why did they get it wrong and you got it right?
Yeah, I'm not saying they got it wrong. Yes, you are.
No. Hold on. You can make an argument about Helton playing ability in numbers or Andrew Jones or Gary. You can make arguments about that. You cannot make arguments about the numbers with Bonds and Clemens. You are literally saying they got it wrong and you're getting it right.
Right. The reason many of them that I've talked to over the years vote for Bonds and Clemens is simple. They make the distinction that based on when Bonds, if you read Game of Shadows, and Clemens and his court set multiple court appearances regarding PEDs, if you look at their history, they're making the argument that Bonds, as of 1999, was a three-time MVP, so he was a Hall of Famer, and that Clemens, as his Red Sox career ended before he went to Toronto, he was a Hall of Famer. I don't believe that with Clemens. Certainly with Bonds, you can make that argument, and even Bob Costas did that on their program today, which he's never done, that you could argue those two, if you put their careers in chapters, that they were Hall of Famers, then don't get banged for it. I mean, the people I don't vote for tested positive and or had a book or multiple federal court cases against them regarding PED use, and Bonds admitted it in grand jury testimony.
I just don't get what that matters.
Unknowingly took steroids.
So
where I stand on it, and I haven't changed. I haven't flipped. I never voted for Bonds and Clemens, and I never voted for Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, and that's fine. People can rib for it. I don't. That's just where I came down on the issue.
How do you punish the league then? I mean, if you're going to punish the players, if you're not going to allow the greatest players in the history of the sport, I know it's early some of, into the Hall of Fame, because you're more or less punishing them for taking steroids. How do you punish the league for creating the system in which they participated in?
Yeah, well, that gets brought up, and that's a fair point. How does Bud Selig get in the Hall of Fame? How does Tony La Russa get in the Hall of Fame? That's not elected by writers. That's a separate issue. I wouldn't have elected Bud Selig because he lorded over that era. I would not have elected Tony La Russa. He lorded over that era. And one thing that gets missed on this, and I know it's a distinction that people don't care about, it's not that you say, well, you can't write the history of the game without these guys in it. The Baseball Hall of Fame I've been to three times, been there for multiple hours in the underground part of it that no one can go to. I love the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a history of the sport. It's a museum. And even Bonds has stuff in the Hall of Fame. So Sammy Sosa did. You're not telling the history. You're not pretending they don't exist. You're just not giving them the plaque. And the guys that hurts are legacy guys. Those are the guys that get hurt by it. You know, you could argue Bonds is the greatest hitter behind, for me, Ted Williams, Willie Mays, Barry Bonds. But he got caught cheating. Alex Rodriguez got caught cheating three times. Manny Ramirez, three times. People vote for them. That's fine. But it's not this idea that they're not in the history of the game. They are. It's a museum. You're just saying you don't have the privilege.
But you're saying they're not the best of the best. And so, I think you would be in agreement that during that era, the pitchers were all on steroids. I mean, everybody they were going up against was on steroids. Are they not the best of the best still on equal ground if everybody's equal on taking steroids?
Then why take steroids then? Why put yourself at risk for your legacy? Why? Greed? Money, jealousy.
Because the system said it was okay.
I know, but it was illegal in society to take steroids. It was illegal in society. Just because baseball was too stupid to put the rule in doesn't mean it was legal. That's where I come down on, too. You can't just go take steroids. You'd have to have a prescription for it. So you were doing something illegal to obtain the steroid in society where you could be arrested for it. It's a crime to take steroids without a prescription. That's number one. Secondly, the idea everyone was doing it. I covered a player who literally had to get mental help because one of his best friends was hitting 35 home runs a year, and he wouldn't take steroids, this player, and ended up almost having a nervous breakdown. I have multiple stories I could tell you like that of guys who refused to take it and watched their careers just nosedive.
Is there anybody in the Hall of Fame that ever got caught with marijuana when it was illegal? Is there anybody in the Hall of Fame that ever got caught on cocaine? and that was federally illegal.
Is that a PED, Tyler? Is that a PED? You think taking cocaine is the same thing as taking a PED?
But that wasn't the argument. I mean, the argument was that it was federally illegal.
Yeah, I'm just saying, as relates to a PED, that steroids makes you a better baseball player. It allows you with HGH that you feel the same on August 1st as you do April 1st. It is a huge advantage to the player.
Right.
Does it make you hit more home runs? Everyone says, well, if I took it, I wouldn't hit home runs. I know you have the acquired skill. If I took greenies and amphetamine and I already typed 80 words a minute, then I would type 120 words a minute. It's an advantage for me and my profession.
The Houston
and
Astros.
So guys who are taking it that already have that skill set, it makes them better at it.
All right, fine.
And
so
so
things that make you better illegally or cheating wise should count against you. Should Jose Altuve have that considered against him because the Astros were caught in a cheating scandal that enabled them to win a World Series?
Absolutely, it will be, especially his postseason numbers.
Okay.
Absolutely. It will be held against him.
All right. So should we go back through baseball history and start voting guys?
I think that one should be because that's different. That's not systematic.
Fine.
That's not systematic cheating.
Troy's,
that's like one-off cheating.
Troy's being consistent. So theoretically, you wouldn't vote for Jose Altuve then, right?
I have real issue voting for Jose Altuve.
All right, fine, because you're being consistent.
Because if you look at his home road splits over the course of 3 years and his playoff numbers, during which time they've acknowledged that cheating was going on, he put up historic numbers during those seasons, especially in the postseason.
Okay. Should they go back and look at, because you didn't have social media, you didn't have technology, never mind, we had this crazy period, ridiculous, embarrassing period, where African-American players and players from other countries weren't even allowed to play in Major League Baseball. Should we go back through the history of baseball and really take a fine-tooth comb to the characters, characteristics and character flaws of players in the Hall of Fame and vote them out?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
I didn't say it's going to happen, but should we?
No. You
okay.
Can't look in hindsight to every part of it.
But wouldn't not playing against the best competitors also make you a better player? Just like,
absolutely.
Of course, theoretically taking steroids or knowing what pitch is coming makes you a better player?
100%.
Okay, you see my conflict here, then.
To me, it's all about systematic cheating versus one-off cheating. If you're a one-off cheater, if you're breaking the code of the system, well, yeah, you should be punished. But if you're participating in the system, in my opinion, it's tough to punish those guys.
The problem I have is not it's not that it's right to take steroids, Troy. I agree, it's wrong. They shouldn't do it. It's not the right thing to do. My issue is there's such a checkered past in baseball. It seems hypocritical to me that this time period is so demonized compared to past time periods as well.
Right. And why is that, D-Mac? Look what it did to the record book. It completely obliterated a record book in a sport that romanticizes the numbers. Nobody cares about football numbers. Nobody can tell you who has the most passing yards by the number. Nobody can tell you who has the most rushing touchdowns. Baseball is the only sport identified by its numbers. And that era from 83 to essentially 2003, 2004, obliterated the record book in every way imaginable with the most sacred record, which was the home run record.
Okay, last one, tricky one. Todd Helton had his best productive time, and you did vote for Todd Helton. He had his most productive time during the steroid era. Do you think Todd Helton, who you voted for, was using performance-enhancing drugs?
I have no idea. I know he wasn't caught. I don't know. I mean, I know he wasn't caught. And again, guys who got caught or guys who had full books written about them with clear evidence, that's, you know, the line I draw. It's very clear to me on some of them. I mean, if you read Game of Shadows and walk away and think Barry Bonds didn't do steroids, or just go back and look at his transcript from his grand jury where he admitted unknowingly doing steroids, well, that's an easy one at that point. Todd Helton, I mean, I can tell you, like Mike Piazza or Jeff Bagwell, they were never caught. Do we think their steroid users are in the Hall of Fame? Yes, we do. It's not a perfect process. It's complicated by a lot of things. And that this era has made it where they've left voters kind of on an island to decide this rather than the Hall of Fame just saying any player who was caught is ineligible for the ballot. That would eliminate some of this rather than leaving us as writers to be the jury on this, because it puts it. And I'm fine with that. I don't care. It's just, they could have, as the Hall of Fame, said anyone who tests positive at any point in their career, they're off the ballot. Just like Pete Rose. He got banned from baseball. Boom, he's gone. they could have done that with guys who test positive, and then some of this argument would diminish.
Troy, you debate with the best of them. You represent your stance, even though we disagree incredibly well. And,
I appreciate you, brother.
And that is awesome.
I know. You guys are the best.
Good stuff, Troy. We'll talk to you later. Troy Rank, I just didn't want to make sure I don't have a Mike Evans relationship with him. It's Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider and baseball wizard on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotlines, KKFN and KKFN HD1, Line 1 Denver.